Okay, so welcome back. Tuesday Live with Linda, November 10th is our second hour. And what I would like to do is, first of all, just hear if there's anyone who hasn't had a chance yet to say anything, if you would like to share how you are and any experience you've had with T-Touch this week or the last couple of weeks.
Linda?
Yona, yes, I see you.
Hi. I don't know. Hi, I'm sorry I'm late, but I sent a message to Kirsten, but I don't know if she got it. I just wanted to pass on that I was late because I had my first session with Bonnie Humiston, who you know from the Feldenkrais Tree. So I just wanted to pass that along. So she thinks very highly about you.
Nice. Okay, thank you.
That's all.
Linda, there was also a question before from Margaret.
Okay.
Do I think about the connection up through the hand, wrist, and underarm and shoulder when I touch the hands?
That's totally up to you and to your experience, what it is. If you have pain, particularly if you're dealing with pain in the hands, I stay right where that pain is. When you're making the connection, of course, taking it all the way up to the spine. I mean, all the way up, because that's what we're connecting with. And you'll remember a couple of people had hand issues that went up into the shoulder. Connect it to the spine. However, if I'm dealing, as I said, with pain, like I have been right here, before and couldn't close my hand like this. I tried coming all the way up and it wasn't really useful. It was something going on right here. And what I should do is, I haven't looked at the hand chart yet to see what that is in my body. I should do that. So that's my answer. And you should do what feels right to you. That's the thing that's so beautiful about having all these people here with so much experience. Follow. This is just like little tips. See where this takes you. Explore. Be curious.
Linda?
Yes.
This is Joyce. Hello. How are you?
Aloha. Hi, Joyce. Hi.
Sending you lots of good thoughts.
Thank you.
I had an interesting revelation when we were doing our fingers earlier. I have a chip fracture on my small finger on the right hand at the very first joint. And the pip, I guess. Anyway, I work on it and it doesn't really ache a lot. Sometimes it's a little funny. So today, doing our exercises, I got to that joint and started to do a normal circle and it would not move. I went backwards. I tried again to do a normal circle. It would not let me. I went backwards. Within three or four circles, it was softer and felt so different. And then I could go in with my normal circle.
So you mean did a counterclockwise instead of a
counterclockwise circle, because my body would not let me go clockwise in. I just thought it was interesting. And there's another small thing. I'm raising four tiny kittens and one of them was very afraid and would cry, and I put it on my heart and do a heart hug with the kitten on my heart with a big smile, and the kitten would get quiet. I just wanted to pass that on.
Ah, beautiful.
Yes.
What Thank a you. Nice thing to do.
And, yes.
And it's good to bring up, because we haven't talked much about the clockwise or counterclockwise. It's whatever direction feels right to you. But that's really interesting, because I am also normally a clockwise person. And at times I feel, depending upon which part of the body, I sometimes know my body wants the counterclockwise. So I just follow that. So thank you for bringing that up. It's a really important point, because it's often a question, clockwise or counterclockwise. Now, one of the things that years ago, I remember in the first seven, when I used to do, can you imagine this, 7 week trainings? That was one of the trainings that Eleanor was in, I think it was 1979. at our ranch at Nacimiento Ranch and Research Center in near Atascadero, California. We had people come for 7 weeks. And one of the participants was a chiropractor who also did acupuncture. And what he said, which is what I've heard over all these years, for with acupuncture, if you want to tonify the body, you turn the needles clockwise, and to release tension counterclockwise. And that's been like true, whether I bring up the subject in Europe with acupuncturists, it was the same until one of our practitioners, who's a veterinarian in Germany, went and spent a year in a medical center in China. And what she said is that they paid no attention whatsoever to the direction, unlike the acupuncturist. She was learning or studying acupuncture there. So it's just so interesting, isn't it? Maybe it's totally intuitive, but they didn't consider it at all in the what she learned. So we have two participants with raised hands. Who are they, Kirsten?
And we have one question too from before, another one.
Okay, so you want to take the one from before first?
Yeah, I think so. So it says, Linda, can you repeat the area on your hand? I have a chart here. Let me see.
Oh.
It's from Charlotte.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we work everywhere. So the point is that each part that we're bringing a T-touch to is connecting to
your part, Linda. Where are you working?
Yeah, where you were working, Linda. So you said that you had an area which you weren't sure about. For yourself.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking. I'm trying to think what I was saying. See, it's this little finger that was stiff, which I can now bend with, you know, a one level discomfort, no more. I can so actually bend it. I couldn't. So, and now
that's your right hand, yes?
It's my right hand, yes. Yeah. And let me just feel the limitation. My middle finger is totally good now. My it's so little now that I can't identify exactly where it is. So it's right in here, right? If I put my thumb on the other side and I press it together, right on that bone, right there is, yep.
Okay, interesting. So can you see my chart? If I try and give you my chart, so that says on the right palm, second finger in from the pinky, it tells me that it's something to do with your ear.
Oh, that's interesting. Whoa. Because I had I still have a little bit of, and I was dealing with it for months.
The pinky is also an ear. So this is ear and this is ear.
Wow. Cool.
So both. Yes. Yeah, so tell us about your ears.
Well, I can't remember how I got it. Oh, I think it was several years ago when I was with our grandson in Canada, and he had a really terrible flu about 3 years ago, and I caught it. And I was really sick, and I wound up with an ear infection, and I did all kinds of different things with it. So it's still a little tiny bit there. Like I can't go underwater now anymore. I can't snorkel underwater anymore because of that. Interesting. So still something there. Helpful.
Thank you. Yes. So yes. So have a look. So it's something to do with the ear.
Great. Love it. Thank you.
And then we have Valentina and Christine with a raised hand. So I will unmute Valentina first.
Okay.
There we go. Okay. I had a hand story. I've been seeing a patient in a nursing home who is rehabbing from a stroke. and he's right side paralyzed and of course has a hand like this. And so I've been, he wanted very much to be able to use his hand with flat fingers. And they had put a brace on him to wear that kept him from being like this, but it also keeps him from moving at all. So we took it off and his fingers went like that right away. And I did about a half hour of T-touch on him, starting up here, both
beautiful
front of the shoulder into the chest and back in the shoulder blade to bring the whole arm back in.
Absolutely, yep.
And he said, what was the word he used? He said, my arm feels much more whole and as if it wants to rejoin my body, he said.
Interesting.
And we were able to get his hand to lie flat. And a very interesting thing that I probably should ask Eleanor about is every time he yawned, his arm and hand pulled back in strongly to where I didn't want to try to keep it out. It was so strong. And I'm wondering if it's a diaphragm, if it's something about yawning and the diaphragm through the vagal nerve. So I got out my neurology books and I couldn't figure out what that was about, but it happened every time he yawned and the nurse came in and she said, oh yeah, that happens to everybody.
Interesting. I mean, I would be very tempted to start doing the coiled python on the ribs to, you know, extend what you started up here. Did you do coiled python on the up here when you started?
Yeah. On the starting about here. Definitely.
And when you suspect the diaphragm, start here and see what happens.
Okay. And for his leg, I started about at the waist and brought it all the way down. And we've been doing the outlining of the body.
Yeah.
And he verbalizes it without me asking. He says, this, I'm starting to feel where my body begins and ends.
Whoa, good one.
So, thank you.
Nice. And one of the things for the hand that you might then, it's a basic Feldenkrais thing. It's so amazing with strokes how that can work, is when you just weave the one hand, and if the right hand that's compromised, you just start working with the other hand and leaving it. I mean, that was one of the beautiful lessons that I saw Moshe do, like the first year in our class, with somebody who at 28 had had a major stroke and couldn't use that part of her body. And then, you know, in 25 minutes, she was different. And I've done this with somebody who couldn't lift a glass. And after 20 minutes of just working like this, he'd had a stroke like a couple of years before, he could actually raise a glass. It's so interesting to add to what you're doing. So you allow the part of the body that can to dance, to lead, you know, just like.
I wish I'd known that 4 years ago, because I had a stroke, and the PT and the rehab place where I was, kind of, I just had to do T-touch on myself with my side, because they just didn't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, this beautiful thing of just seeing, you know, like taking, say it's my left hand that's compromised, which a little bit it is. So I can do this movement, you know, with my other hand. And I can remember that like it was yesterday, and that was 1975 that I saw that. And I did this about 10 years ago with a guy who came to a presentation I was doing. He came in a wheelchair, it was for horses, but I saw that he was, you know, there, and asked him if he would like help with it. And it's so basically simple. Just allow that part that can work to lead, you know. Mm-hmm.
You're wonderful. Thank you. I will share that with him.
It's so much. Wow. It just makes my heart sing. All the things that we can do. Thank you. Christine had your hand up. Where are you?
Okay. This is a technical question. It's very basic about the face of the clock. So I'm getting that when your body, you know, we're vertical here. So we're doing it with a six toward the floor. Okay, now maybe I want to do my leg that's horizontal. But if I were standing, the six would be in a certain place. But now that I'm horizontal and looking at the clock, I more or less want to put the six, you know, as I'm looking at it, which means the six is not, it's the opposite of being toward the floor. Do you see what I'm talking about? I have a little confusion about which way to put the clock. On a vertical, you know, vertically, it's obvious. The six is toward the floor. Okay. But now I'm looking, I'm sitting and I'm looking at my leg. And let's say I just want to do the clock on my leg here. If I were standing, the six would be in.
Which part of your leg? Where you're sitting, you're doing it on
I'm
your,
sorry. You know, my thigh here. I'm sitting.
On your thigh. Okay.
Yeah. So it's horizontal. So am I going to put the six as though I were standing and it would be vertical? Because when you're standing, you know, the leg is vertical. But right now it's horizontal. Do I do the six as I'm looking at the face of the clock, looking down at my horizontal leg?
Okay. So let's all of us who are sitting like that, just explore that and see what feels best to you. Does it feel best that you place the clock as though it was like on the side with the 6 o'clock toward the floor, in which, and then come bring that upward? That's mm-hmm. where you go upward toward the ceiling. Or when you're sitting, does it feel better to approach it like the 6 toward the knee as though you were standing? Which feels best to you? And I'm not sure it will be the same for everyone.
Okay, so it's back to the intuitive thing.
No, it's not. It's not just intuitive. It's reality. What feels better to you?
Well, right. Yeah, right. Exactly. But okay, so just to carry that a little
but
farther.
Which is it?
Well, I don't know. I just.
But try it. Let's do it right yeah. now. Let's. Everybody
well, I don't have a problem there, but I might have a problem on my hip. And that was even a little bit more confusing, but you're going to give me the same answer, which feels the best. Because on the hip, if I were standing, you know, then the 6 would be down, would be toward my knee. And if I'm not standing and I do it a different way, then the 6 would be facing up toward, say, my armpit. But and so I've been wondering, well, which is the proper?
But wait, hold on a second. That's very different. If the six is toward the armpit, that's different than if you're on your hip. Just a second, because that would be mean you'd be going starting downward, right?
Yeah, toward the floor. Yeah, is what and, you're saying.
That tightens for me just okay. and without thinking of the direction, just start doing like yeah. what I'm doing right here, what we called the other day, like I'm using the side of my fingers, stabilize what we call the camel, this part stabilized with my thumb. So I've got this and I'm doing that circle and a quarter here, just sitting and just try some different directions, starting at different places, and then observe, oh, what am I really doing? Where am I actually starting? Just, and that is intuitive, how you go, and then physically, how does that feel?
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, thank you, because I've been wondering, you know, and that makes it so simple, what you said, your answer. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's good.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, it really does. But sometimes before I go intuitive or exploring about which way, I like to see what is the so-called proper taught way and then go experiment from there. So I was trying to figure out which would be the correct way. But
right. Well, I would say in principle, I'm placing the imaginary clock on the body as though we were upright.
Okay.
However, as soon as we lie down, there are areas where that doesn't feel right and areas where it does feel right. And that's why what feel like on my, just sitting here, I'm imagining I'm lying down. If I'm lying down, I'm going on my ribs, I'm going to place the clock as though it's the 6 o'clock is toward the floor or the table.
I got you. Yeah, that's yeah.
What makes sense?
Yeah.
What feels right?
Yeah.
Because there are no rules, and which direction, because that may depend on which hand you're using.
All right. Direction. Yeah.
And it's just interesting. Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Okay, with my right hand on my ribs, on the right side of my ribs. I thought I liked counterclockwise better, but I don't. That's interesting. Logical would be to, but it's not.
I have I'd like to say something about you were talking about the counterclockwise traditionally, like chiropractically and acupuncturally.
Acupuncture, not chiropractor, sorry, it's acupuncture.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, that the counterclockwise is more of for a release, and clockwise would be maybe bringing the energy in too.
Tonifying, right.
And so with the healing work that I've done through the years, that generally seemed to be the thing. And then you said the Chinese don't give it a thought. So there, I'm sort of guessing that when they say we don't even think about it, that they're just going intuitively, however the hand wants to go, right? They're not
thinking about it.
Yeah. So that's perfect. We can't
now,
get...
How about you? Like with my left hand on my ribs, I definitely prefer the counterclockwise.
Ah, that's interesting.
Don't like the clockwise.
Oh, I'm doing it that way myself. Yeah, I just did the same thing and the counter felt better. I don't know why.
Now, that depends if I use both hands or not. If I use both hands, can be either way.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. So what all this is about, you all, is explore. Get to know this body. Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like us to just sit back and I'd like to take us into the forest. We've got some stuff to do here today with this.
All right.
Our bodies. So let's get comfortable. Sit back and get as comfortable as you can. Smile and just do a few heart or belly hugs, whichever you prefer. And smile at our bodies. Just the physical aspect that we're here. We can be here together doing this. And now imagine at your feet appears this beautiful magic carpet that each one of us has conjured up. and take a look at it like, whoa, this is very cool. Any change in the colors today? What color do we want this carpet today? And what is the, what's the fabric? How thick is it? Like, what does this look like? Is there any pattern on it? Play with this, have fun with it. Yeah, it's going to take us traveling. And some of you are going to make it bigger so that your animals can fit on it. And some of you will make little carpets for your animals. And some of you will have flying animals that just come along beside you. So let's get down and get comfortable. Do you have a yoga little yoga cushion? Did you bring a chair with you? Some of you, a lounge? Yeah, you can do that too. And some of you may want to stand and put your arms out today as we just imagine now our carpets lifting up together. And from around the world, we're going to come together. Feel, first of all, that weightlessness, just that imagine flying on this beautiful carpet and looking down at the beautiful earth below us. And imagine that you can see trees below you and some sand dunes, water, different types of the shores. Some of you will see beautiful birds down there. Some animals. And some of you may feel the spirit animals with you all around us. Some of you may have a butterfly on your shoulder or a bee in your bonnet accompanying you. And let us all gather together in this ancient, beautiful, magical forest, just waiting for us, knowing we're coming. And feel the quietness, the beautiful silence of nature, which actually, we can now, as we settle down and circle in this circle of beautiful ancient trees, let us together make this lovely little pond, a very small pond, and in the middle, it's like a little island, and out of this comes our stone, a beautiful crystal, and water coming up, like artesian water coming up out of a spring, a bubbling spring. And in this little circle of water that we've made here, it's not exactly a circle, it's a lovely pond. There's going to be a basket, and we've all made this beautiful basket, woven basket. And I invite each one of you to put flowers or herbs in it, in this basket. And just to feel it just very quietly moving as the water bubbles out of this beautiful spring. It's moving. And in this basket are the gifts, different colors of the flowers. And now settle yourself in your carpets and sit down or stand, some of you, and put your feet on the ground, and let's put our arms out and feel the welcoming from the trees, and smile and look around and see what plants do you paint here? What flowers and bushes, and what do you see here? And feel the breath of the earth under your feet. Just imagine we can really feel that breath of Mother Earth in this very safe, very beautiful forest. And just take a little quiet move around. We're not going to speak between each other, but we are going to see each other. And now put your hands down. What animals are with you? And some of us, we feel the angelic presences around us. And feel like a humming that you can feel that is a communication of the trees around the world. And look up, and actually there are some of the trees here among this forest that reach up to the sky. And it's like a transmitter, a connection from the knowing of the quantum field, of the presence of the knowing of the universe. And let us imagine these just beautiful, interesting, these silver threads are turning to gold, that we can connect and just bring this feeling of all of the creative energies of the universe. And let us call in all of the positive creative energies into our bodies, into every cell in the body, and all of those beings around us. And let's sit down now, come back, and invite with you, who do you have with you? Besides your animals, are there any humans with you? Or some of you may have angelic presences, guides, besides your animals, who are here to support you. And I'd like you to now imagine this mirror around us this time, as Sandy talked about. And in that mirror, as we look in that mirror, we are reflecting back this the creative energies in every cell in our body. And just find parts of your body and very gently do tea touches and reflect that back. Parts that maybe it's given you some kind of issues in the past. Let's reflect that amazing creative energy of the divine spark. And actually do tea touches on parts of your body with gratitude, just however that feels right. And put your hands over your heart and imagine your heart in your hands as you're reflecting back from that divine spark. You're seeing the light, and let us light up ourselves. Let us bring light into the cells. The light of knowing our connection of oneness, our gratitude. Find the areas of the body that have given you trouble. Reach back if they're on the back, or if you can't reach back, I'll go from the front and just send that light through right to the inside of our spine. Oh. And let us acknowledge, oh my goodness, within us, these phenomenal bacteria that is in our whole intestinal tract. This whole other life that we don't even know yet. Wow. Responsible for our well-being. And any parts that you feel, wait a minute, some here not serving me, just transmute them into light. Thank them for the gifts they have brought you of awareness and release them into the light. And if there's someone with you, you may, who doesn't know how to do this, you just brought them in, just hold that mirror around them so they get to see themselves and their divine spark, holy mackerel. Just making this communication between all these cells. And the place that doesn't have enough light, bring it in. Just bring it in, and bring it in from the top of your head and down through your body into the breath of the earth, and take it down through the stability of the earth and out around the whole universe and back in to the top of our heads. And really feel the connection to Mother Nature. And all the animals, all the plants around us, all the stones, the earth, and all the nature spirits who are so present with us here. All the bees and all the little bugs and all of this amazing life that makes up this planet, of which we are such a part. Just feel this peace. Go down through your body and your imagination just now. Giving thanks. Hug some of these animals. And some of you may be there with the water, just bringing this beautiful water up and imagining, just letting it flow over you. And then leave your carpet a moment and walk over to the trees and just feel, hug the trees or lean against a tree and feel that connection around the world. Through that amazing network that is known now. And let us choose this gratitude, this knowingness, this connection to all that is. No matter what we're dealing with, feel the thanks, feel the gratitude. And feel that creative energy, every spark in our body, every cell. And just take a little time to feel this in your body. Stretch your lips. Breathe in through your nose and expand your body like out the back of the sides, the ribs, the front. Fill it up. And then I love this, like blowing out gently through this straw. And let's imagine we can activate this diaphragm muscle. The crow. And then come back to your carpet and knowing we can go there anytime and call in this feeling around us, all of this sunlight and water and wind, the sound, the bees, and the movement of the air of the butterflies, the feeling of our animals or our guides or our angels and or all around us, anytime. We can come back there and feel this infinite peace of the connection with the breath of Mother Earth. And sit down on your carpet and let's rise up, knowing this spot is always here for us with our mirrors, the water, and come back. Bring the carpet back to your feet. Sit back down. Settle into your body. And just with both hands, one over the other, do some hugs around your body. Oh, well. And we'll just snap our fingers and open our eyes. And share this time together. Chris Haggard, I feel with your picture of your dog, I feel like your dog is with us here. It's so beautiful.
He is.
We'd like to share a little bit of what you felt or saw there.
This is Victoria. Thank you, Linda. Last Saturday, I had the opportunity to do something called new to me, totally new through our local sanctuary, like a wildlife sanctuary. And it's called forest bathing, which comes from Japan. And now there's a training in the States. And so one of my Feldenkrais students actually was leading the training or leading this forest bathing 3 hours, you walk like a mile in 3 hours, and you just keep stopping and noticing. And what I felt today was from Saturday, and I felt at this moment of like the air, the forest air was like kissing my face. I called it a breeze, but I feel like it wasn't even the breeze. And when you said something about the breath of the Mother Earth,
oops, we lost you there a moment. We lost your sound for just a moment, Victoria. After you said the breath of Mother Earth, we can't hear you anymore.
Am I back?
No, you're back.
Okay, gosh, I don't know what you heard. So did you hear
the breath of Mother Earth on your cheek? That was the last we heard.
Nice. And so today, thank you so much. And so today in the our meditation and our journey, I felt different cats with me through my life, but also my childhood dog as well as my adult dog. So it was Lucky from my childhood, and he'd never come with us before, and Lakota, and it was so sweet to hug, and just the feeling of the water and basket of flowers, and
I love it. I love the feeling you make this movement, and then with a basket of flowers, we lose your voice. So we're left with your feeling.
I felt just fantastic the next day. So forest bathing, if you can find it.
Beautiful.
Because also we can combine this experience with you with that, you know, so it's so, so rich. I love going to the forest with you, Linda.
Thank you. Yes, and the idea of forest bathing that we can just do in our minds. I mean, it's so beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. Beautiful. It's lovely just to sit here in the peaceful feeling and the, yes. So we'll just give a little space for any more sharing. Just remember that this time together, this recognizing our connection with each other and with all that is, makes a difference for every thought we have, every feeling, every emotion, every belief that we have. When we choose to bring the positive thoughts, and bring the smile, and bring the acknowledgement of the blessing, this creator energy in every divine spark and every cell in our body, we're making a difference on the planet. So if any of you feel like it would be so helpful to me if any of you could just, you know, write some little thing about your experience that we could share with others. Because having this common experience where we come together these couple of hours every Tuesday, I think it would be measurable on the heart math measuring device that we're putting this positive acknowledgement, recognition of that divine creative force in every cell in our body. So I think this tree speak, love is the glue, is something I'm going to close with today. you've heard it before, but every time I I read it, I get something out of it. So it's sitting deep in the beloved rainforest of Dr. Helen Caldicott, who was the doctor who started Physicians Against Nuclear War. My open journal poised precariously upon my lap, awaiting wisdom from the ancient tree upon whose limb I balanced. Dusk hovered nearby as lusty bullfrogs gave full voice to the orchestra of cicadas and a variety of unidentified plops and gurgles, which arose from the pond above which I was perched, while the last vestiges of evening light illuminated my page, the voice of the tree began to flow from my pen. As you sit lightly upon my outstretched limb, it is like sitting in the cradle of civilization from which you came. So long ago, your soul started its journey on the physical plane, many times to come back for lessons, experiences, and the making and releasing of karmic debts. In this soul group, you finally found your original family gathered together, as you agreed, to uplift the energies on this lovely planet. Many of you have been networkers, weaving the web of light around this precious planet, fully trusting your inner voice and gently guiding whispers of wisdom dropped on your path, often as scarce as Hansel and Gretel breadcrumbs, but just enough to hone your skill of inner listening. A shift has occurred as more and more of you come together, having given your will to divine source and recognize your oneness with all that is. The matrix from which you came is shifting to form a new vibrational rate, a new pattern of molecular structure. As joy and unconditional love awaken in your memories, this pattern, this shift will begin to spread through the human community as bees pollinate flowers. Each positive thought, each gesture of love, each smile of appreciation of your own species and of the other kingdoms strengthens the web of light and currents of information buried long upon this planet. Atlantis, arise, Lemuria too. It's time to awaken, and love is the glue. To heal the wounds, to close the rift, to rebalance the planet, to make the shift to the knowing you've carried into each new birth, that right here now is heaven on earth. And that heaven on earth, as you've heard me say so many times, just comes when we recognize this vessel, this vehicle that holds these 100 trillion cells of divine spark. Thank you. Hold the light in the cells. Hold the light. Thank you all for being here. And if you, I would so love to hear from you. And if you could just send the messages to Linda@ttouch.com. or to Kirsten@ttouch.com. Aloha. Wherever you are, have a lovely evening, lovely Aloha. Dream, or the rest of your day.
Aloha, mahalo.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Beautiful. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Hold the light.